ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow. Getting the week started, pumping with a super exciting podcast. So just quick commercial break over here as we begin this exciting new week ahead of us, is that we are so busy. If you know any young professionals who'd like to come to a million events, we have this coming Wednesday, December 3rd, our regular 613 at 613 Journeys Through Genesis at our downtown River North Center. And then this Friday in Shabbos, we have Shabbos in the Chud. Yes, we're bringing it home at the Garfinkel home. It should be absolutely incredible. I actually have a bunch of people already signed up, and we are super excited for that. And then, just when you think things can't get more exciting, the following Monday is our Winter Toast. Yes, it is just a totally cool, awesome social event celebrating our Olami 613 community. We have a jazz band. So cool. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a jazz guy. I'd rather, I don't know, maybe certain types of Chinese water torture than listening to jazz on the radio. But I will say, in an event, jazz is super cool, and it's an absolutely fantastic addition to our party. That's Monday, December 8th. And then, of course, Monday, December 10th, we have our regular programming, 613 to 613. And then, just in case that wasn't enough, we have a Shabbos in the City, December 12th and 13th. I've memorized these dates because I've been telling everyone about them. So I'm not sure why we all agreed to do these events, so many of them, but this is what we are all about. We are about providing the best content out there, social, intellectual, spiritual, Shabbos, everything else. It's going to be absolutely amazing as we roll into Hanukkah not far from now. That is end commercial. Now here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be an unbelievable episode, and it is because of you, the listeners. This is, you know, it's basically me schmoozing over here as the Monday Motivation, but it's going to be based on your feedback. So before we officially begin, I would like to give a big shout out to an amazing Olami 613 participant, Jamie Hendler. And she was the one that brought me onto this whole topic of this Netflix show called Nobody Wants This, and, you know, brought it up to me. So I'm really indebted to her because it's led to a lot of very, very wonderful discussions. So shout out to Jamie. Kudos. Big applause. Appreciate you and everything you bring to our Olami 613 community. Now, I often get some feedback, but I actually asked for feedback, and I got a lot of feedback. So I sadly cannot quote everyone that that wrote back to me, but I appreciate everyone who did write back to me. And I want to share with you some of the feedback, and through the feedback, I want to do like live commentary. So it's going to be a little spontaneous tonight. And see what happens over here in terms of getting really fleshing out the issues here. For those people who did not listen to last week, quick summary is that the Netflix program Nobody Wants This is about a Reform rabbi who is dating a non-Jewish girl. And they are dating, and it's been renewed for a third season. A point that I may not have made last time is that she did not convert yet because she hasn't decided to go, quote unquote, to go all in. And so you'll see some of the feedback focuses on that. And I, the rabbi over here, was standing up for tradition, but not just blind tradition, what we call our Mesorah, our Torah, and our Torah values that say that this whole entity in of itself is anathema. It really is. And we need to be very clear on what our values, what can change, and what cannot. And we're actually going to delve into that more, and also the ramifications of intermarriage. Now, I also will make the same disclaimer I made last week, which is that we are not talking about individuals. I have so many people who come from intermarried parents. I don't know if it's the majority, but it's a huge percentage. And everyone knows that everyone is loved and accepted and doted upon at Olami 613. And so this is not pejorative or negative to any individual, because we love you. We love all of you. Come hang out with us. But it is a question about what should the ideas of Judaism be? What should the position about how we approach intermarriage and interdating, etc.? That is what we're talking about. We're talking about on the idea level. If anyone has their feathers ruffled and feels they just cannot be part of this group anymore, do me a favor. Text me, call me, we'll schmooze, we'll have a coffee, and it'll be great. Okay? Because I guarantee you, you're going to get a lot more love and acceptance from Olami 613 than you're going to get from any other group, period, hands down. Now, so here we go. Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. So I have to start with the funniest comment. Maybe not for all viewing ears. Maybe younger children should pause the Monday Motivation, skip a few seconds. But, and I'm not going to say anyone's name, but he knows who he is. So after asking feedback, I get a text message from a longtime listener who texts me usually pretty much every Monday. And he says the following comment, and that's all he says: love hearing the rabbi say, hop in the sack. This was talking about the rabbi who, and his non-Jewish girlfriend who, by the fourth episode, what can I say, did not maintain their COVID social distancing of 6 feet. Anyway, so shout out to you know who you are. You made my week. That was really a funny thing. Okay. And he goes on to say that he hasn't watched the show and he wasn't planning on buying Netflix just to watch it. Okay. So now, here we go. Let's go in maybe a, I don't know what progression here, but let's just start. So anonymous. I guess they're all going to be anonymous. I'm not going to say names. Here we go. Ready? Rabbi, I understand why you as a rabbi are against intermarriage, but I think you need to understand that Judaism is evolving and what was once taboo is no longer taboo. It's a pretty bold thing that the rabbi is doing to explore new spaces and make Judaism accessible to everyone, especially non-Jews. All right. Well, here's the good old classic. Judaism is evolving. Yes, one of my favorite ideas to tackle. Judaism is evolving. Well, that's what some people say. And other people say Judaism is not evolving. But I will be honest. It is a very wonderful discussion about what about Judaism does evolve and what does not. There are certain things about Judaism that do evolve. There are certain customs, certain practices that evolve. There are certain parts of the service that are emphasized more. There's certain times there's more singing or less singing. There's certain customs. And there's a real question about when Judaism can change. And there's an entire halachic literature about what can change and when it can change and why it can change. But the bottom line is that the pillars and ideas and fundamental practices of Judaism never change. Okay? Thou shalt not murder will never change. Has will not ever change. Okay? Thou shalt not have a cheeseburger will not, has not, does not, will not ever change. That is a pillar. And I give an analogy, you know, in our Olami 613 downtown center, it's an old loft building in downtown Chicago, and it's made not with steel, but with huge wood pillars. I mean, these things run right through our unit. They're huge, Okay, like 2 foot by 2 foot, maybe even more. And they're enormous. I don't even know what tree it is that is that wide, but it's unbelievable. And then we used to have these Home Depot paper shades, okay? And I say, you have to know what you're going up against, all right? You can't move this pillar. If you move this pillar, the building collapses. But if you want to change the window shades, okay, which they subsequently did, that's fine. But you can't just be anyone deciding this. There are specific laws and rules, and communities decide how, through guidance of rabbis who know halakha, who know Jewish law, how things change. And another thing that is a pillar that does not change is intermarriage. It's one of the 613 commandments, one of the 365 don'ts. It's a pillar. It's not window shades. It never has, is, or will evolve into anything else. That's Judaism. And as soon as we start evolving, the fundamental core principles and tenets of Judaism is the moment that you literally rip down, tear down the pillars of a building. Okay? And that's as clear as I can make it. It doesn't mean that certain things don't change. Teachers always, each generation, need to package the teachings in different wrappings. Sometimes you need liquid Tylenol, sometimes you need the pill, but this same essential medicine must stay the same. A podcast. Right? They didn't have a podcast 50 years ago. Okay, so we're evolving in maybe the messaging, but the fundamental truths never change. Okay, that's how I would answer that feedback. Okay, I got another great listener. She says, I said what gender. Okay, but I have a lot of she's and he's. But she said, I listened to your latest podcast and I do agree with some of what you're saying. Okay, at least I got some. However, they are not married yet, and the rabbi does want her to convert. I also think it's good that she's seriously thinking about if she wants to convert to Judaism for herself and not just for him. Okay, what type of conversion she would get is another story. Okay, it's a good point. In other words, that the show does hold the line, and this is what I mentioned initially, that she doesn't convert, okay, because, you know, and so I guess that in a certain sense is they don't just, you know, do what I call a drive-through conversion. And then she says what type of conversion she would get is another story. And that's really the story. What is required in a conversion? And conversion is a very serious process. And I really would like to say this about conversion. There are many people who harp on, and I've been a part of many Orthodox conversions. I'll say many, but enough. That it is really important that people understand that a non-Jew can go ahead and eat a cheeseburger and be totally fine and can drive his or her car on Saturday without any problem. And they are still totally morally upstanding non-Jews. However, once one converts, one is a Jew and fully accountable to all the laws of Judaism. And therefore, if we open the aperture too wide and let non-Jews roll in, we're not doing them any favor. Because if they fall back off of keeping halakha, keeping Jewish law, then they are going to be punished for every cheeseburger they eat. Whereas beforehand, they would be totally fine. Again, the Jewish law and discipline is a much higher and more strict. We're going for spiritual gold. There's no problem not converting. Most of the Judaism is not a proselytizing religion. Oh, you want to have a closer relationship to Hashem? You want to kick it up 10,000 notches? Okay, but be very clear that you want to do this because it's forever. And if you change your mind in 5 months or 5 years or 50 years, the moment that you backslide, you are going to be held accountable for everything. So that is very crucial to understand why conversion in Judaism is very strict and it's not an open door policy and they're even pushed away because it's not for the potential convert's benefit. And that is something that is very misunderstood. Okay, we will go on to the next comment, which is super exciting over here. And the next comment is from, yes, one of the YPs again, who says, yeah, it's hypocritical, especially for a rabbi, to be dating a non-Jewish woman. Rabbis should be held to a higher standard. People look up to rabbis. And if they're doing it, then it's really bad. And so I think that was a point that we also made, that it's one thing, you know, it's not necessarily acceptable that an average person does it, but to have the actual rabbi do it, I think is, you know, sort of beyond the pale. Okay, interesting, good point. Now, next is, I thought, fascinating. Listen to this. Rabbi, every Monday morning, I listen to your podcast on my way to work. Oh, God bless you, this beautiful person. What a loyal fan. I just wanted to say that I share your take on Nobody Wants This, and it was refreshing to hear someone else say it. Over the last few months, I've been part of a Jewish group, blank, 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 and we had a social gathering a little over a week ago. We were all chatting, and someone brought up the show Nobody Wants This. I haven't had a TV in years and don't have Netflix. Bravo to this person. That's my inserting it. But as soon as the show was announced, I read up on it. Intrigued. I also knew right away that any show that trivialized and glorified the idea of intermarriage wasn't for me. This woman has her values screwed on straight. Okay, that's again my comment, not hers. Back to her. At the gathering I was at, people said that some parts didn't show Jewish people in the best light. So when I said I hadn't seen it, they asked if that was why. I said no. It was because the show promoted intermarriage. The whole room became silent, shocked, and then someone said, well, that's not my problem with it. I just don't like that the rabbi's mom ate bacon out of the garbage when no one was looking. I sat there in a room full of young Jews, thinking to myself that no one here understands the gravity and impact of the normalization of the Jewish people's assimilation. In fact, I didn't know that the intermarriage rate was quite so high until you mentioned it in your podcast. I stand by what I said at the party. It was affirming to hear you agree. Keep up the quality work. Amen, sister. That is great. I love that. Thank you, blank, for your feedback. Yes, it is unbelievable. What you're pointing out is that it's taboo. We have been so browbeaten into thinking that marrying your own people and perpetuating your own legacy is somehow racist or elitist, and it's just not true. It's just not true. And this is part of who we are as a people. We do not lord over other people. We do not jihad other people. We don't take other people into the forest and, you know, and do away with them, or give them cement shoes, or blow up planes, or anything else. We just want to keep our 3,800-year-old religion going strong, being the moral beacons to all of humanity. And that needs a Jewish mommy and a Jewish daddy full force, with shared values, with their love and their caring compassion, and raising Jewish children with those same values. It needs two dedicated people to be able to transmit Judaism to the next generation. Of course, they're single parents. I know several of them. They're doing holy and valiant work. But to say that a priori, that the initial prescription is that Jews and non-Jews should marry, that's just an abrogation, a violation of everything that we hold near and dear. All right, and here is the last one. The last one is from a fellow radical like me. Okay. Rabbi Garfinkel, another incredible podcast where you say what other rabbis are too timid to say. What the Reform rabbis are doing is not Judaism. Now, I was very clear. Now, this is me speaking. Again, anyone who says that the commandments are no longer binding is changing Judaism. It's if you say baseball has, you say we're playing with four strikes. Okay, it might be similar to baseball, but it's not baseball. Okay, if you say that there are four outs in an inning and not three, it's not baseball. Okay, can imagine going and, you know, the MLB, You know, the team wins, you know, Dodgers win the World Series. Say, oh, no, sorry, we just changed the rule. You need four outs, not three outs. The whole world would go berserk, okay? So we're talking about a rule that is more important than three or four outs in an inning. It's really important that we realize this. Judaism is not some airy-fairy spirituality. There are specific concrete rules. Okay, back to this person. I've heard other Orthodox rabbis say that in private, but they won't say in public. Yes, yes, we speak the truth over here. We are not afraid of sharing tough, truthful ideas. He continues, in my Reform upbringing, the rabbis tried to create a false sense of reciprocity between the major denominations, as though the Orthodox viewed the Reform movement as an equally legitimate expression of Judaism. I think the blame, though not the most important part for the growth of Reform movement, is that the Orthodox rabbis didn't call the Reform movement out enough for the farce that it is. Now, those are very strong words. He says, sorry for the rant, but you keep hitting the nail on the head with your podcast. Okay, so listen, I grew up in a Reform temple. I have tremendous gratitude to my Reform rabbis, cantors, who encouraged me. God bless them. They have a huge part in who I am. Nothing personal over here. When we talk about the sacred nature of the Jewish people, we need to stand up for these values. We need to be able to create a youth who are going to say, I'm going to marry another Jewish person and be passionate about it and say, no, I am not going to go out with a non-Jew, not because they're bad people, because being Jewish is so positive and so necessary. And it's so fundamental to who I am. I could not even think about it. I love being Jewish so much that I cannot fathom not marrying another Jewish person. That's the goal of our Jewish education. That's where we need to be. We need to wow people so much with how awesome being Jewish is that we can't even fathom marrying someone who's not Jewish. Not because Jews, non-Jews are bad or icky. It's because being Jewish is so important that I need a fellow Jewish spouse to be able to inculcate these ideas into the next generation. That's the point. And so this series, I hope, will spark a lot of discussion and a lot of debate. And I will conclude with the following idea and a little bit of a story. Is that I remember very clearly in 1991 when, after the 1990 Jewish population survey came out, that was the cold water wake up for the American Jewish community. And I remember I was at Stanford University at a Reform service in a huge hall. And the rabbi gets up there and he talks about the scourge of how could it be? How could it be? Like how could it be that at the time it was 48% of Jews were intermarrying and now we're way above 70% on average. If you take out the Orthodox, it's way above 70, possibly 80, as we said last week. And lamenting. And it sent shockwaves, this study, throughout the Jewish people. That's where Birthright came from, by the way, people. Birthright came from, like, what do we do? I don't even know. Like, we're marrying non-Jews. What are we going to do? Let's send them to Israel. And then Jewish communities spend billions of dollars trying to figure out things. Oh, but the main thing is, don't get too religious. We just want you to stay exactly where we are. And that was the wake-up call. And so, folks, as I said last week, we're coming up on Hanukkah. If you eat too many potato latkes, you're going to get a bellyache, okay? If you sleep outside in the cold, you're going to get a cold. If you, you know, there's not, you know, people who drink and drive, it's not going to end well. There are natural outcomes. We have to realize that if we as Jews just give in, throw in the towel, and say, yeah, of course you can date so-and-so. And of course, intermarriage is fine, and it's spreading Judaism. It's just Judaism evolving. Then we cannot be surprised when intermarriage gets to 70 to 80%. We cannot bemoan or bewail it. We have to get out in front of it to show the next generation through positive, tantalizing, exciting Jewish education, how awesome it is to be Jewish, so they won't even think that marrying someone non-Jewish is an option. God bless to all of my Jewish people out there. God bless to all my non-Jewish people out there. We love you. We have so many non-Jews who support us, and we love you. But this is talking about the destiny of the Jewish people. God bless. Wish everyone will continue to speak about this, speak about this, and bring this up. This should be discussed. This should be talked about. And this should be, God willing, an inspiration for the Jewish people to continue on better, stronger, faster, like the spiritual bionic people that we are. God bless. We look forward to seeing you next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.